We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you have a garden and a library, you have everything you need. That's what the famous Roman statesman Cicero said, which may seem strange because he rated gardens right up there with his library. But if you are a gardener, and how many avid gardeners do we have here? Oh, many of you. You probably feel the same way. It's a great place to be, the garden. Now, some of us think of gardening as a chore. So a garden can be a good place or a bad place. And sometimes, like in the gospel this morning, it is both. The garden was quiet. And then slowly, a solitary figure emerged from the darkness of the morning. It was a woman named Mary, from the town of Magdala, and she had come to mourn at Jesus' tomb. 2 days earlier, she had been at Jesus' cross, and she had watched his agonizing death. He had been her teacher, her friend, her beloved leader. And he had cast out 7 demons from her, which is the Bible's way of saying that she had an illness, maybe a mental illness, that made her an outcast in her society until Jesus cured her. As she approached the tomb, she saw that the rock over the entrance had been rolled away. And without even going in, she expected the worst. She said, they must have stolen his body. And, you know, you can kind of understand in her frame of mind why she might have expected the worst. Sometimes we're like that too, aren't we? Sometimes we think, oh, this lump, it must be cancer. Or maybe I'll be lonely my whole life. Or maybe I'm not good enough for that job I'm hoping for, or to get on the team or to get that scholarship. Sometimes we think that way, don't we? Well, she took her sad news to Peter and another disciple, and they in turn ran to the tomb, but they went in. And there they saw the cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' body and the handkerchief that had been on his head, all rolled up very carefully, not like a robber would do. So they had hope. But strangely, they did not share it. So Mary is still there outside the tomb, crying. And then she gets the idea that she'll go in too. And when she goes in, she sees 2 angels. But she doesn't recognize them as angels. And that too, I think, is a little bit like we do in our lives. You know, God sends a lot of messengers of hope that we never really notice. Maybe friends give us encouragement and we just kind of dismiss it. Or maybe this spring that has blossomed so beautifully around us, maybe we've been too busy to even notice it. And the angel said, why are you crying? And she said, because they've taken the body. And then Jesus himself appears to her and she does not recognize him. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? He says. I'm crying because they took his body. Do you know where it is? She asked. If you do, tell me and I'll go take care of it. There's all this concern for the body because Mary believes that that's all she has left of Jesus. Her only hope is to mourn a dead body. Until he calls her name, Mary. And she recognizes that voice. She recognizes the love in that voice that had spoken to her so many times before. It is her Lord. And she instinctively grabs hold of him so much that he has to say, stop holding on to me. But I think he said it gently. Because having experienced the human life and having even himself wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, he knew the pain in Mary's soul. She had lost him once and she wasn't going to do it again. And it's that way for us too. Jesus understands the grief in each one of us as we lay someone we love to rest in a grave, never to touch them again. That is an experience of humanity that we cannot avoid. And yet, although Jesus would have to tell her she couldn't hang on to him physically, he had something better for her. He said, "I'm going to ascend to the Father." And he knew that was the only way he could send her his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. She would never be able to hold on to his physical body, but soon she would be held. She would be comforted. She would be strengthened by Jesus' Spirit. And so then he gave her a commission. "Go," he said, "to my brothers," that was his disciples, that means us, "go and tell them that I ascend to my God and your God, to my Father and your Father." You see, what was happening there in the resurrection is that Jesus was recreating the relationship between human beings and God that had become destroyed in the Garden of Eden. And now in the Garden of the Resurrection, we are reunited, we are reconnected, we are one again with God. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven, and we have been given the power of the Holy Spirit. On that first Easter, Mary came to the tomb hoping only to hold on to the past, and Jesus, by defying death and evil, his victory over death and evil, gave her a future. And we can only imagine what she was like after that day. Mary, once the outcast, was now the first person to see Jesus alive in all four Gospels, and she was the first one to tell people. And the early records of the church show that she did become a great apostle, some say even to rival Peter. We can certainly imagine her going confidently through life, confidently and gratefully sharing this good news. It's my hope and prayer for us that this Easter story changes us. It's an old story. It's a story that's hard to believe, and yet it rings true, doesn't it? Because we are like Mary. We are always searching for balance in our lives, searching for excitement, searching for success, searching for security for the future, searching for a reason to believe that our lives matter. And then we, like Mary, are always hanging on to those we love, to the things we love, even though we know we can't have them forever. So, like for Mary, Jesus' resurrection shows us that what's important is not what we're hanging on to, not what we're holding, but that God is holding us. We are like a tree planted in God's garden. We bear some good fruit, we bear some fruit that isn't so good. But it's not the quality of our fruit that allows us to be there. God called us by name. God called us in baptism, just as Jesus called Mary's name. God planted us in the garden of God. Our roots go down deep in God's rich soil, and we are anchored. We're given security. Our leaves reach up to get God's rich sunlight and rain, and we grow and we flourish. God's precious planting. A boy once was walking with his grandfather through a large orchard, and he noticed that the trees by the stream were tall and strong. And then as they walked toward a rocky ridge, the trees got scrubby looking and smaller. And he said, "Grandpa, is this orchard dying?" "Follow me," his grandfather said, and he led him up to the top of the ridge, where the little boy looked, and as far as he could see, there was only green, tall, strong trees. Our lives are like that orchard. In this life, we have wonderful things, and we have very hard things. But by the grace of God, this is not all we have. Our lives and the lives of those who have gone before us are out before us, like a vast forest into eternity. And so may we use this life, as Mary did, to share in word and especially in deed this message, this promise, this joy, this Easter hope. Amen.